Good morning. Surprise, it's me. Thank you for letting me be a part of the worship team this morning. That makes me happy, even if it doesn't make anybody else happy. I'm really grateful for those opportunities. And because you have endured, your good reward is a mini sermon this morning. And the church said hallelujah. We're going to be in Psalm 23. We've been exploring, diving in. I want to read it once more. Let these words wash over you and minister to you this morning. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me one more time this morning. Lord, you are far above. You are great. We lift you up this morning and pray that we would find ourselves in the shadow of your wings, that we would find ourselves in the presence of the one who has created us and redeemed us and restored us to the good work that you've prepared us for. Bless us as we seek your face this morning, and may we in turn become a blessing to those we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Last summer, we went to a birthday party. It was my niece's birthday party at her house. And they have a property that kind of butts up against the end of Pleasant Hill Lake. And so we all walked down to the lake. And we were able to play in the water there. And it was like one of those beautiful Ohio days, you know. It was like the sun was shining, the water was warm. We had good food. Our whole family was there. Everybody was laughing. It was like, this is it. If there's a moment that you want to like Instagram and put on your wall for your life, no filters needed, right? Like it was just a really beautiful, beautiful afternoon. And we were wrapping up and we were kind of loading up chairs and coolers and getting ready to hike back to the house. And sweet Rosie, our four-year-old, stepped on a wasp. Oh, bummer, right? And so with the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, you know, and trying to figure out what was going on, and grabbed her foot, and yeah, sure enough, that stinger was still in there. Had to yank that out. Somebody grab a penny, put it on her foot. It doesn't make it feel better, but we like to think it does. And as I was thinking about Psalm 23, that's the image that the Lord brought to mind. Because Psalm 23 is about this beautiful, lush, green valley that the Lord has led us beside. You know, we have these still waters and he's causing us to rest. And we have this amazing shepherd who's guiding us through the highs and lows of life. But also in the midst of that psalm, right in the middle, is the valley of the shadow of death, right? And so both are present, the shepherd and the shadow. Psalm 23, and that's what our lives are like, you know? There are these incredible, picturesque moments where we're just basking in the moment. And then the very next moment, we could be thrown into confusion and pain and hurt. And yet, God is there in the midst of it. He is the shepherd that leads us through. One of the things that Psalm 23 challenges me to do is to let God be the God of the middle. We do very well with making God known at the beginning and at the end of things, right? So at the beginning, we like to pray for new school years, or pray for new homes, or pray for new life and children that the Lord has blessed us with. And then, of course, at the end, we pray too. We pray that we would remember. We would pray that we would take the lessons forward. We pray when people pass away and go into glory. In many ways, that God present at the beginning and at the end shapes the way we think about God. You know, God at the beginning, we think of as Father. You know, he helped us come into this world. And at the end, sometimes we think of God as judge, right? What's waiting for us after this life is over? But Psalm 23 insists that God is not only a father and a judge, but he's also a shepherd. And he's there for us in the middle while we walk through life together. This is obviously like a favorite psalm of the Christian church since forever, right? Many of us have it memorized. And I always think that's a testament to how powerful this psalm is, because it is so wildly insulting to those of us who are memorizing it, right? Two metaphors that you and I fill in this psalm, and the first is sheep, right? And you've probably heard or experienced in your life examples of how truly stupid sheep are. They are not looking out for themselves well, and left to their own devices, they will inevitably find a way to kill themselves. I grew up on a farm, and we had goats, which is kind of like sheep, only those that go to hell. That's like a deep inside joke that I'm proud of you for getting. Thank you, Ben. So they're like the same, pretty much. I don't know who would win an IQ test between a goat and sheep, but we had these goats, and they managed to one day get both, two mama goats, both got their heads simultaneously stuck in the trough that fed them, and were completely unable to solve the problem by turning their heads the same way that they got in there. And we discovered this as they were like on the brink of death. They were choking themselves, they were flipping out. And I remember my dad like trying to fix this problem. And the only thing that basically worked and ended up, they both lived, was he had to just rip the feeding trough off the wall. He had to get a hammer out and like bust this thing down, because otherwise they were gonna die. So like, that's you. In this analogy, just unable to do simple tasks without your life being in grave danger, right? Not a flattering analogy that the Lord is the one who is the shepherd and he's the one guiding us. But that's only the first part of the psalm. The second part of the psalm continues and talks about you preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And there's a scene shift that happens here. The shepherd remains the same, but we are something else now. We're no longer sheep. But now in this analogy, we are fugitives who are fleeing. So in ancient Middle East, if somebody committed a crime and they were looking to escape the consequences of that crime, they would flee to the wilderness. They would run away, right? Maybe you were murdered someone and you didn't want to lose your own life as a consequence, and so you would run into the wilderness, and those who are affected by the murder would pursue you. They would try to find you out. And so you are on the run, you're a fugitive, you're running for your life, and the wilderness, not wildly hospitable place to spend a lot of time. There's all kinds of dangers there, all kinds of problems that you would face. And in the wilderness, in the ancient Middle Eastern custom, there was only one place that you could find refuge, and that was with a shepherd. Beginning at the very beginning of Bedouin culture, shepherds had a rule that they would entertain and protect all guests that came to them, all. And they believed by doing so, they might someday entertain an angel, right? So the only place a fugitive could go to escape the oppressive heat and dangers of the wilderness and the very people that were pursuing them was a shepherd. And a shepherd would bring a fugitive into their tent and they would give them part of the meal that they had. And even if the pursuers were right on their heels, the pursuers knew that they could not harm that fugitive, guilty though they were, while that fugitive was with the shepherd, or the shepherd would defend them, right? So the shepherd not only defending dumb old sheep, but also fugitives that are wildly guilty of a variety of crimes. So somebody just asked me a few weeks ago, I thought it was an excellent question. We were talking about Christmas time, and the question was, why did the angels appear to shepherds to announce the birth of Christ? And part of the culture was they have been entertaining sociopaths for millennium, waiting to entertain an angel. So the Lord was like, definitely go tell the shepherds. They have been having a hard time. They have been protecting people who don't deserve it. You need to go let them know that Christ has been born. And so they do, and they announce to the shepherds the coming of the Lord. And so in this psalm, not only are you a sheep with questionable intelligence, but you're also a fugitive with guilty, like blood-stained hands. That's you in the psalm. And the Lord is the one who protects you and guides you and loves you anyway. Right? He's the one that makes space for you, causes you to rest and to lie down, and then prepares food for you. He anoints you. He blesses you. He gives you some of his bread and some of the wine that he might have had with him. Obviously, the ultimate demonstration, the ultimate person of God with skin on, is Jesus Christ, who in the Gospel of John told his disciples, "I am the good shepherd," right? And you know that they and Jesus are intimately familiar with this psalm, right? They know the ins and outs of this text. And Jesus is saying, you all are the sheep and the fugitives, right? I'm the shepherd. And the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This morning, we're going to be receiving communion. We're going to be coming to the Lord's table and experiencing part of the tradition of accepting and receiving this amazing grace that still baffles me to this day. And I want you to recognize that Psalm 23 is very much in alignment with the Last Supper when Jesus is gathered with his disciples. And in their midst, in the group that he has gathered, the small group that's been traveling with him, are people that are going to betray him, people that are going to deny him, people that are going to completely abandon him when it comes time for him to give his life. And yet still, he prepares a table before them in the presence of their enemies, right? And when he comes together with his disciples near the end, he talks about giving food that will never perish, giving a cup that will cover them of their brokenness and their sin. And so this morning, we wanted to kind of dive into the psalm. We wanted to experience it. And no doubt many of you could also tell stories of how this psalm has spoke to you. This piece of scripture has guided you and comforted you in the midst of times of trouble. But the other thing that I want us to draw our attention to this morning is that it is a representation of the table that is open before us this morning. In life, there are two tables. There's the table of the world, and there's the table of the Lord. And when we come to the table of the world, we come to a table that is judging us, that is telling us we've fallen short, that is promising us things that they cannot deliver on, that is asking us to change, to get our lives together, to shape up in order to be worthy. And it's completely exhausting, and it's completely ridiculous. And then there's this table of the Lord that is set before us. Even as we are fleeing the crime scene with blood on our hands, the Lord prepares a table before us and says, there's a different way. Because at the table of the world, you have to earn your right to be there. But at the table of the Lord, Jesus Christ has purchased the right for you to be there by the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross. Amen? So this morning, we're going to do that. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. We're going to receive the grace and mercy that he has set out before us, not because we deserve it. In fact, the opposite. His grace is so good and his love is so amazing that despite the fact that we come beraggled and, is that a word? I like that word. What's the real word? Bedraggled? That's even better than my word. Bedraggled. It reminds me of a dragon. Maybe a sleepy one. We come bedraggled, we come challenged, like I am mentally sometimes. So we come and we receive because his grace is so good and his love is so evident. And he leads us into righteous paths instead of dangerous ones. He covers us in times of trouble. He comforts us when we're overwhelmed. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus gathered those closest to him, bedraggled and feeble though they were, and said, I want to enjoy this last meal for you, but it's one I want you to take forward into the rest of your lives. And he took some simple bread, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. When you take of it, remember who I am and what I've done for you. And likewise, he took a cup and he blessed it. And he said, this is a new covenant. This is a new relationship that I'm establishing with God on your behalf. Receive it. And when you do, remember that I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep so that you may enter into the rest and provision of God, even in the shadow of the valley of death. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, we pray a blessing over these elements that we're about to receive. We gather together in your name and we come to this table that you've set before us, recognizing that it's just an outrageous act of grace that we get to come in your presence, be called your people, and receive the grace and the love and the eternal promises that you've given us. As your church receives this meal this morning, we pray that your name would be glorified, that we would be humbled, and that we would also surrender, that we would stop making excuses, that we would stop trying to earn our way and find our own path when we know that we know that we know you've made a way for us. May you be blessed as we receive this incredible gift, all of God's people said. So remember logistics, we'll come together down these aisles, whichever is closest to you. You take a piece of bread and dip it into the juice. There is a gluten-free option for those of you who are either trendy or have an actual illness. Both are fine. We're gonna just play and we're going to try to stay out of the way of the Lord ministering to you. As he set this table before you, after you receive the elements, you can go back to your table and we'll finish up together with another song before we leave. But we pray that you'll be blessed as you receive this gift of life and nourishment from the Lord.
Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, 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 amen. Forever, 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 amen. Forever, 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 amen.
Yeah, I love that chorus. I know it's taken directly from Psalm 23, but that's the reality of those of us who are found in Christ Jesus, is that goodness and mercy are following us, and they finally catch up with us on the day we transition from this life to the next, and they usher into the presence of the Lord for eternity. We said goodbye this week to two amazing ladies. Tonda Selinsky and Laura May Riffle passed away, and they are dwelling in the house of the Lord now for forever. And so we are people who are mourning. Psalm 23 is appropriate, but we're not grieving as if we don't have a hope, because in Christ Jesus we know that there will be this beautiful reunion when we are able to see and embrace them once more. Receive this benediction this morning. May you find yourself constantly aware of your great need for Christ to guide and comfort you your whole life long. Not merely in the moments in the valley, not merely in the moments of the summit, but every single step in between here and eternity, may He be your Savior and your guide. We bless you to go out knowing that as you walk out these doors, goodness and mercy are following right behind. Go in His peace, go in His love. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.